take out your Bibles with me and turn to John 6, 53 through 56. John 6, 53 through 56. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my body is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Once a week, someone stands at the table in front of us and talks about the Lord's death. It's not uncommon for the person who does this, as was done just a few moments ago, to read a passage or two. If you're ever called upon to read before the communion service, I want to leave you with a tip. Do not use John 6, verses 51 through 57 for the Lord's Supper. I've worshipped at places where this was done, and I can understand why some would use this passage as a reading for this time. From what was just read, we heard about eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood, and this sounds a lot like what Jesus did on the cross. He gave his body, and his blood was shed so that we could have redemption. But in John chapter 6, Jesus is not describing the Lord's Supper. In fact, that should be fairly clear as you think about where the Lord's Supper occurs in the New Testament. It was established quite a while after this. And if that's not proof enough, the context shows that the Lord's Supper is not being described. Backing up a little bit from what Bill read, in verse 45, you have here one of the key verses in the chapter to describe what's being talked about. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard from the Father and hath learned cometh unto me. The theme in John 6, especially as you look at verse 45, is accepting the Lord's teaching. The idea here is embracing Jesus and his ways. The New Testament makes a number of references to Christians being joined to the Lord. The first of these passages that I can find in the New Testament is John chapter 6. John used figurative speech in this passage, that is, eating the Lord's flesh and drinking his blood, to describe Christians and how close they should be to Christ and his teachings. The Lord wants to be so intimate with his people that he described this relationship as eating his flesh. Now that's a fairly bizarre picture, but it is an illustration that one, gets the attention, two, makes people think, and three, causes folks to conclude that Jesus wants us to be closely connected to him. This illustration is not limited to John 6. We find it in other parts of this book. Moving over a few chapters to John chapter 14, we have this same picture once again. The same subject is being discussed, but the illustration has changed. In John 14, verse 20, we find the Lord saying that he was in the Father, and his people are in him. Well, it is impossible in physical terms to be in someone. I cannot be inside you, and you cannot be inside me. You know, the doctor can put the finger in the mouth, or he might be able to get, you know, a couple fingers in the mouth, but it is literally impossible to physically be in someone. And yet Jesus says this is the very case. He again uses figurative wording to describe the close-knit relationship that Christ is to have with his people. When we think about John 6 and John 14, we are provided with some important points. That is, a child of God, when we think about who a Christian is, he or she is someone who is very, very close to Jesus of Nazareth. A Christian is not, in their relationship with Christ, treating Jesus like a distant relative who's seen every few years. Neither is the Lord treated like some relative down the street who's seen from time to time. But as you look at John 6 and John 14, Christ is pictured, as far as the Christian, as being right by the person's side all the time. This is the conclusion that must be drawn from these two chapters, as well as the material in John 15. If you got to John 4:14, look across the page. We want to read several verses in the 15th chapter. In John 15:1, the Bible describes Jesus as the true vine. Then when we move down to verse 5, Jesus says, or compares his people to being vines that are attached to him. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit, for apart from me ye can do nothing. Well, we know as we look at the secular realm that a vine must be attached to the stalk. The vine and the branches are to be joined together if the branches are to have life. When a person is joined to Christ, and the Bible says this is done by baptism, Romans 6, 1-4, and Colossians 2, verse 12, they are attached and need to stay attached to Christ. They cannot disconnect themselves from the vine for a little while and say, well, we're going to go off on our own and we'll get back with you at a later time. But Christians are to be cemented to Christ. And when we have this kind of close relationship with the Lord, there are some advantages. If you are looking at John 15, let's look at verse 6. Jesus said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. When a Christian sustains the kind of relationship that's being described this morning with Christ, John 15, 6 says he or she avoids condemnation. Condemnation is going to be what some experience, but the Bible says if we are joined to Christ, we avoid that. A second benefit described in John 15 is found in the 7th verse. Jesus says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto or for you. Now, there are some people who abuse this passage or misread it. There are some folks who look at this passage and they say, well, God's going to give me anything that I want. No, that's not right. Think about what Jesus is describing in John 15. We're talking about a relationship where a person is so closely joined with Christ that Jesus was able to describe it as eating his flesh and drinking his blood in John 6. The bond is so intimate, it is described in John 15 in terms of a vine and branch. Now, if we are that close to Christ, if we have this kind of relationship with the Lord, then we're going to know what to ask for when we pray. We're not going to be asking for items that are wrong. And if we're asking for what is right, John 15, verse 7 says that Christ will respond to us. A third benefit found in John 15 is in verse 15. No longer do I call you servants. Jesus said, For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known unto you. When Christians have the kind of relationship described in John 6, John 14, and John 15, they are friends with the Lord. The creator of the world, Colossians 1:16, says you can be and you will be my friend. Jesus believes in friendship and he offers a kind of bond which is unmatched when we look at the universe. Paul was aware of this and he found this offer to be thrilling. You may remember that in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he said he had been crucified with Christ. Now, again, that cannot be literally true, because if Paul had been crucified, he could not have written these words. But it was another figurative description, just like we have in John 6, just like we have in John 15, to describe a Christian's relationship with Christ. He meant, when he wrote to the Galatians, that he had been fully joined to the Lord. His goals prior to becoming a Christian had been exchanged for goals consistent with the Lord's will. Paul's relationship with Christ was so close and so intimate that in Galatians 2:20 he says Jesus lived in him. And this is a magnificent description for a stronger, mature Christian. Christ is living in a child of God. And the value of this is found in Colossians 1:27, a passage where the scripture says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus needs to be in us and close to us because he's our hope. Paul says in Colossians 1, he is the way to glory. And that's why in the next chapter, Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, the text says, walk in Christ. Be rooted. Be grounded in him. This is what Jesus had in mind in John chapter 14, verse 20, when he said, he is in us and we are in him. This theme is so important. We find it not only in places like the Gospel of John, it's also introduced in the book of 1 John. And we want to look at about three passages from this book as well. I want to start with 1 John chapter 2. Here John told his readers to abide in Christ. That is, the people of God were to have this close, this intimate, this tight relationship with Jesus. And he says there are some benefits, just as we find in the Gospel of John chapter 15 when we do this. 1 John chapter 2, if you found the second chapter, look towards the end, verse 28. And now, my little children, abide in him, the same idea, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. John said a judgment day is coming. A time of reckoning is going to be in the future. 1 John 2:28 promises that at this time there will be some people who will be ashamed. The implication is there will also be some people on this day who are not ashamed. What will be the dividing line? What will be the basis on the day of judgment between those who are ashamed and those who are not? Well, the answer is found in 1 John 2:28. It's found in the expression, in him, that is, in Christ. We will be evaluated on whether or not we, number one, entered into Christ, and two, whether or not we sustain that close kind of relationship with the Lord. If the answer is yes to both questions, it's off to glory. If the answer is no, it's off to another place. In 1 John 2:28, the King James, if you have that translation, says confidence. The ASV that I read from says boldness. Confidence is not cockiness. It is rather assurance, peace, security, and a strong sense of comfort. Jesus is our closest ally. He is the creator of all things, Colossians 1:16. And if he is on our side, John says in 1 John 2:28, we should have confidence and boldness. If you turn to 1 John 2, let's skip over to the next chapter. This is right at the end, 1 John 3, verse 24. Here John said, "And he that keepeth his commandments abideth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he gave us." Once again, we find that it is possible to be in Christ and for Christ to be in us. For the person who perhaps does not have this kind of relationship with Christ but has become a Christian, or for the person who is not a Christian, the thinking may be, well, this sounds pretty good. At least it's interesting. Having this kind of close relationship with God is an intriguing thought that is appealing. But I want to know how I can make this work in my life. Or if I'm a Christian, how can I deepen my relationship with God? How can I make Christ my closest friend? Paul had done that, Galatians 2:20. He had been crucified with Christ. If he and others were successful in that, how can I, either if I become a child of God, do that, or how can I as a Christian accomplish that? Well, we don't need to go down to Barnes & Noble to find the answer. The answer is found in 1 John 3:24. Notice from the text that if we keep his commandments, two things are true. Number one, he dwells in us. And number two, he abides in us. That would be the American Standard Translation. By being obedient to God, the Bible says we have the close kind of relationship the Bible describes. At the present time, there are people in and out of the church who ridicule the idea of commandment keeping. We are told this is an old way of thinking. We are told that in the modern times that we now have, we need a new approach to God and religion. Not every idea is right or good, and a lot of the all the ideas going around right now saying that, you know, commandment keeping is wrong and evil and we need to approach those ideas are very wrong. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 13, verse 8, that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In New Testament times, God told his people to have an intimate relationship with him. They needed to abide by his commandments. We're still under that testament. The unchanging God, Hebrews 13:8, has not changed the terms of this covenant. And to have, therefore, the kind of intimate relationship with God that is described, we need to stay with the terms of the covenant. Some feel close to God by using a way that they've devised or a way that some other man has devised, but feeling close to God and being close to God are not always the same thing. To be close to the Son of God as well as the Father, we need to be obedient to what Heaven's Word says. And if it's not convincing enough from 1 John chapter 3, let's move over to 1 John 5. This is the final chapter in the book, and this is also a place where John comments on a Christian's relationship with Christ. Again, 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, about midway through the chapter. "He that hath the Son hath the life. He that hath not the Son hath not the life." Do we need a close relationship with Jesus of Nazareth? We have the answer in 1 John 5. We do. The answer to the question is yes. Because if we have the Son, John says we have life. Without the Son, if we lack the Son, if he is not our closest friend and ally, we do not have life. Well, how do we get the Son? How do we have and sustain this relationship? Well, thinking back to 1 John 3:24, the Bible says we need to keep his commandments. We need to do what God's word says. And John wasn't kidding. This point not only comes from the book of John, as well as the other references that we talked about in the book of 1 John, it's found in 2 John as well. Towards the end of 2 John, it's only one chapter, you can probably flip across the page, the Bible says, "Whosoever," that includes all people, "goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son." In order to have God, and remember, to have the Son means to have life, 1 John 5:12, in order to have Christ, we must abide in Christ and his teaching. If we fail to do those things, we do not have God, he's not our friend, and we're in bad shape. As you look at the Gospel of John, and especially the first and second epistle of John, our choice is pretty simple. Do we have God in our life, or do we not have God in our life? It can be boiled down to that. Is he our closest friend because we obey him, or is he not because we're disobedient, and therefore he is our worst enemy? Those are sobering questions. Jesus, when we think about who Christians are, is an ally who is the closest friend a child of God will ever have. And he's the ally that we need. Not only do we need him in this life, some people say, well, I can get by without God. And there are some people who go through life and do okay without Christ. But the Bible says, if you remember from the passages that have been cited, a day of judgment is coming. The sheep are going to be separated from the goats, Matthew 25, verses 33 through 46. And at that time, Jesus will be the only one who will be able to deliver people from eternity with Satan. We want him to be our friend. And the Bible says we can be in him and he can be in us. But for that to occur, we must be obedient. There's no other way. If we abide not in the teaching of Christ, we have not God. 2 John 9. Are you abiding in the doctrine of Christ? Have you become a Christian in the way that the Bible describes? If you have faith, that's on the right road to deliverance from sin. But the Bible talks about repentance. Acts 17:30, the Bible says all people now need to repent. And once a person is willing to confess Christ as Lord, to be joined to Christ, to actually enter into him, the Bible says in Galatians 3:27 that we are baptized into Christ. Belief isn't enough. Repentance isn't enough. Confession isn't enough. There is that final step. And then we continue to abide in Christ. 1 John chapter 3, by keeping his commandments. Are you a faithful Christian, keeping the commandments of God, sustaining that relationship so Christ is at your side day by day? Or do you need to be restored as a child of God? Or do you need to become a child of God by being immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? If Christ is not with you day by day, right at your side, you can make that correction today. And we invite you to do that as we stand and sing.